Hello there, everybody. It's Mike Arrigo, and welcome to podcast number 9 of my Macintosh podcasts. And we got some cool stuff coming up in this one. First off, I do want to talk about a couple of things kind of following up on podcast number 8 with the NFB review. They did actually release a response to us Mac users who thought that their review was incorrect, and I'm going to comment on that, and also add something to a comment I made on podcast number 8.2 in text edit. And then what we're going to look at on this one is some third-party applications. There's still some people that think that, VoiceOver on the Mac, you know, it works great with the built-in applications like email and web and iTunes and that type of thing, but you can't use any third-party applications with VoiceOver that are not made by Apple, and that is simply not true. And we're actually going to look at 3 of them on this podcast. We're going to look at one thing that I think a lot of people might be interested in, and that's instant messaging. Can you instant message on the Mac? Absolutely, you can, and it's great, and I'll show you that. Going to look at a program called Ziz, as it's pronounced. It's P-Z-I-Z-Z, and what this is for those of you who have heard of relaxation tapes or CDs, that type of thing, what this program does is it actually creates them on the fly. What it does is you set the length of time that you want to do a relaxation, and it creates it with different voice, you know, guidance and sound and everything. And the cool thing is that each time it's different, so you never get used to hearing the same thing over and over again because it's dynamic. It picks, you know, voice phrases at random and that type of thing. So that's definitely an application that I can show you here, and it's definitely a third-party application. And then, and this is a really important one, we will look at a backup program for the Macintosh that allows you to back up your whole system, and this is really nifty. It blows any backup solution that I know of in Windows just totally out of the water. It's going to be really cool. You're going to love that, I think. So that's what's coming up on this podcast. So this one might be a little bit long. I'm not sure yet, but sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And certainly if your player allows you to speed it up or anything like that and you want to, feel free. I do want to comment on a couple of things with podcast 8 that I did, basically about the NFB review and how wrong it was. They did publish a response to that. I don't have the page in front of me, but it's on the NFB's site. Basically finally admitting that, yes, they intentionally did compare it to Windows, which, of course, was obvious from the start. But they still think that that's the right thing to do, believe it or not. And their justification for that is, you know, in a recent poll that the majority of blind users were using Windows, so therefore it made sense to compare the Mac and how this Mac screen reader does things to how Windows screen readers do things. And I disagree with that wholeheartedly, because it's not Windows. And just because something's in the majority doesn't mean it's the only way to do things or that Apple should conform to what the majority does. That's not even a good reason. You know, if you're going to evaluate something, evaluate it for what it's worth, not how it compares to something else. Unless you're comparing, like, Windows screen readers, for example, then you're in the same, you know, arena. But comparing VoiceOver in the Mac to Windows is like apples and oranges. It's, the two are different. They're different operating systems. You got a different screen reader. It has a different way of doing things. And that's just not a good way to do it. So, but they think it was, and I totally disagree. As a podcast number 8 pointed out, I think the review was very biased, and they admit now that it was biased, of course, toward Windows. So I'll just say, and leave it at this, that if you're going to do a review of something like this, comparing it to Windows and Windows screen readers is just the wrong way to do it, and it's not an accurate review. As podcast number 8, I think, points out very, very clearly. Okay, the other thing I wanted to point out from podcast 8 is actually a slight correction that I need to make, and this is why it's so important to know your screen reader. If you'll remember, if you've listened to podcast number 8 in the text edit, when they talked about how the tables dialog box, there were a lot of things that didn't read, particularly the radio buttons. And I had even said that, yeah, it's true, that does need some improvement. The radio buttons in the table creation dialog box don't read. There's no label on them. That's true. That is true, and what I said still stands, that I think that does need to be fixed. And those buttons, those radio buttons need to be labeled. However, there is a keystroke that I actually did forget about in VoiceOver, and that is Control-Option-H, and that is to read the help tag for an item. And if you do that, those radio buttons actually do have help tags. So before we get into looking at the applications that I want to show you in this podcast, I just want to take you into a text edit and show you that actually those buttons are usable if you use the Control-Option-H command. Though, again, I do still think they need to be labeled, so you don't have to do that. But this is a good workaround. So let's go ahead and, first things first, let's go ahead and open up TextEdit. So what I'm going to do is go ahead and, I'm sitting on my desktop, I'm going to go down to the dock, because that's where I have a TextEdit, so I'll press Control-F3.
Finder running.
And we'll do T for TextEdit.
TextEdit.
Press Enter.
Finder, Macintosh HD selected, TextEdit, window, untitled, edit text, blank, has keyboard focus.
Okay, let's go into that dialog box where we were last time in podcast 8 for creating a table. I'm going to do Control F2 to go to the menu bar, and then we'll just go to the right. I think it's, was it an edit? Let's see.
Menu bar, Apple, text edit, file, edit, format, window, edit.
I think it's in, is it format? I think it might be in format. Let's see.
Format, allow hyphenation, wrap to pay, prevent editing, make plain text, text, submenu, font, submenu, allow hyphenation, text,
maybe some text,
text submenu, table, ellipsis.
There it is. Okay, table. So let's just press enter on that.
Window, table.
Okay, now let's just, I'm going to use the VoiceOver navigation keys now, which I do have mapped to my numeric keypad, so we'll do a numpad 7 to go to the top of the window, and I'll just use a numpad 6 to move to the right.
Rows. 2. Edit text. Adjuster. Merge cells. Dimmed button. Columns. Split cells. Dimmed button. 3. Edit text. Adjuster. Nest table button. Alignment. Selected radio button 1 of 4.
Okay, here's the radio buttons that aren't labeled.
Radio button 2 of 4.
So you wouldn't know what they are, but if we use the Control-Option-H command, let's see what we get on these.
Selected radio button 1 of 4. Align left. Radio button 2 of 4.
Go to the second one.
Center. Radio button 3 of 4. Justify. Radio button 4 of 4. Align right.
So there we are for those.
Radio button 1 of 4.
Now let's look at these other this other set of radio buttons.
Align top. Radio button 2 of 4. Align on baseline. Selected radio button 3 of 4. Align middle. Radio button 4 of 4. Align bottom.
Okay. So there we are. So actually, yes, those are usable if you use the Control-Option-H command, which reads the help tag for an item if it has one. So actually, those are usable, and I had even forgotten about that command, which again illustrates why it's important, especially when you do a review or anything like that, to really know, you know, what you're reviewing and be familiar with it, which, you know, I don't think the NFB was on that regard. They just, they weren't. Or, well, they may have been, but again, they were comparing everything to Windows, which VoiceOver is not going to behave like Windows. It's not. It's not going to behave like Windows screen readers, and the Mac OS is not going to behave like Windows. You know, that's just the way it is. Okay, I just wanted to show you that, that those radio buttons are accessible. Let's go ahead and exit out of a queue edit, or a text edit here, queue edit. That's an old editor in DOS, actually. TextEdit is the name of this one. So let's go ahead and Command
window
Q and get out of here.
Untitled. Interact. Do you set? Don't set. Close
and
dialog.
I choose not to
Finder,
save that.
Macintosh HD selected.
That. Okay. So let's look at instant messaging first. There is a great program on the Mac for instant messaging. It's called Adium. It's A-D-I-U-M. And I'm going to go ahead and open that. I do have that on my dock as well. I have all the applications that I launch, that I use a lot on my dock, so I don't have to go into the applications folder. So let's do Control F3 again.
Text edit.
And press A.
Adium.
Press Enter.
Finder. Macintosh HD selected.
All right, and this will take a second to load. This chat client.
Adium. Window. Contacts. Table. Has keyboard focus. 5 rows added. edit text blank, insertion at beginning of text, window, Tina A at qwest.net,
okay,
star shoes, edit text blank, insertion
looks
at
like
beginning
I've got a instant
edit text
message here.
Blank.
Okay, let's see what it says. Well, let me explain some things to you first.
Tina-e at quest.net asterisks. Well, it's warm here, but we're expecting thunderstorms sometime this evening. Severe thunderstorm watch until 9 here.
Okay. She had sent me that actually.
Vicky went idle.
And that's another one my contacts went idle. Okay. Let me explain the different voice and that type of thing. This messaging client works with MSN. It works with Yahoo. It works with AOL and several others, which I haven't heard of. It also works with Google Talk, and there are several others. Now, the reason why you heard the different voice is you can configure this chat program to speak events, and messages are actually, you know, events, aside from VoiceOver, actually. So it doesn't use VoiceOver to speak that. It uses whatever voice you select to have it do that. And I've got this set for to use a Heather, which is it doesn't come with the Mac, but it's a acapella voice that you can purchase for the Mac, and that way I can distinguish it easily from Alex, which I'm using for VoiceOver. So this messenger client will speak the messages and when people sign in and out and that type of thing, and you can set that all up in the preferences, and I'll show you how that's done. But that's how this is configured. So it will speak this even if you're in a different window. Now, if you miss something that somebody says, it's very easy to review. I'm sitting in a chat window, which opens up anytime someone sends you a message or, you know, if you send someone a message. And to review the text, in this case that I was sent, I'm sitting in the edit text now where I could type a reply back, and I will do that in a minute. But let's just use the VoiceOver keys, and let's go back to the left.
Unknown.
Okay, it says unknown. I'm not sure why VoiceOver calls it that, this particular control, but it's no big deal. If we interact with that, it'll say interact with HTML content.
Interact with HTML content. Tina A at qwest.net. Star shoes. Tina A at.
And I hit the control key to stop that. But so it's interacting with an HTML area. So that's how ADM displays, you know, the chat history. And now we can read this just like a web page, item by item. So the first thing, if we go to the right now, will be the time.
7:46.
And then if we read the next thing, it'll read what she said.
Well, it's warm here, but we're expecting thunderstorms sometime this evening. Severe thunderstorm watch until 9 here.
Okay, so
well,
that's that.
Here.
So if we want to type something back, let's stop
here. We're expecting thunderstorms sometime this evening. Severe thunderstorms.
Yeah, okay, I pressed to go to the right again, but that's the last thing. So let's stop interacting with this...
Stop interacting with HTML content.
And let's just move the VoiceOver cursor to the right again.
Edit text blank.
And it says edit text, and of course, by default, again, when you move the VoiceOver cursor to an item, your keyboard focus also does. So we are sitting in the box ready to type. So I'll type something. Let's see. Let's do this.
And
not supposed
space
to get any storms here tonight. By the way, I'm recording a demonstration of the Macintosh. Demonstrating instant messaging. If you want to
space.
Type another message.
Period.
All right, let's just read what we got here.
A demonstration not supposed to get any storms here tonight. By the way, I'm recording a demonstration of the Macintosh demonstrating instant messaging. If you want to type another message, a demonstration instant message. If
okay, so just press enter to send it, and that's the tone I've got for instant. You know, for the message being sent. Now, the review keys will come in handy because if you're in another application, and this isn't so much a limitation of the messenger client or, you know, VoiceOver, but if the Mac is speaking something, any of, you know, the built-in speech functions, and you press a key, it will usually stop speaking that. So what you would do then is simply, you know, come in here and review the text like we just did. Let me show you how you set this up as far as speaking stuff goes. And to do that, we would go into the preferences. So to do that, let's go ahead and go up to the menu bar with the Control F2. And we'll see if we get a response from my friend. So we'll go to the menu bar with Control F2.
Menu bar, Apple.
Go to the right.
Adium.
And down to preferences under the Adium menu.
Adium about check transmit preferences ellipsis edit text blank window accounts no selection accounts.
Okay, so we've got several different tabs here. Accounts, that's where you can add. When you first install Adium, it will ask you for your account information and what type of account it is and that type of thing. It's very simple to set up, just using the voiceover keys. But as far as the speech stuff goes, that is actually under, there's a separate tab for events. And I'll go ahead and show you that.
Row 1, accounts button.
Okay, we're just moving through the toolbar with all the different tabs here.
General button, personal appearance button, messages button, status button, events button.
Events, that's what
Vicky
we want.
Went idle.
It says Vicky went idle. That's another friend of mine I got in my contacts. So you see it reads you the stuff, you know, automatically if you have it configured to do so. Anyway, I'm sitting on events. Let's go ahead and select that with the voiceover select key, which is, I got it mapped to numpad 5. And is my keyboard focused there too?
Events.
Yeah, it is. So we could also press
focus.
The space bar also to do that.
Press events button.
Okay. Now we're actually interacting with this toolbar, I think, when we tabbed to it. VoiceOver assumed we wanted to interact with it, which is right. So let's go ahead and stop interacting with that toolbar.
Stop interacting with toolbar.
And let's just move to the right here. I'm going to use the VoiceOver keys here now instead of tabbing because there's a lot of intervening text that we want to be able to read also. And that's where the VoiceOver keys are really good for.
Event preset. Default notifications. Copy. Pop-up button.
Default notifications. Yeah, it calls it copy when I changed my event setting, because it wasn't set by default to speak everything, and I enabled that.
Sound set. Custom. Pop-up button.
Custom sound set. I went ahead and changed the sound a little bit.
Set minimum volume button. 100% volume horizontal slider.
Volume's all the way up.
Set maximum volume button. Events table.
Okay, events table. So that's where we're at.
Events table has keyboard focus.
And the keyboard focus is also there, too. You'll find sometimes a keyboard focus can't move to controls, but most of the time it can. But even if it can't, it's no big deal because you can activate it with the voiceover, you know, select key. But anyway, if we just, we could interact with this table and use the voiceover keys, or I think we could just arrow down through it. Let's see.
Collapsed row 1.
Yeah, we can.
Image. Contact becomes idle. Speak the event aloud.
Okay, so it's collapsed. That's actually the root of it, or that's the actual event. Now when you can, if we expand that with the right arrow, can we do that? Let's see.
One row.
Yes,
added.
We can. Okay. So,
row 2. Image, speak the event aloud, blank, text.
Speak the event aloud, and that's basically, some of these were set to just play a sound on each one, and I changed it to speak the event aloud, and I'll show you how I did that. Once you're on an item, if we use the voiceover keys again.
Add button, delete, edit button.
We could delete that. If we do edit.
Press edit, interact with dialogue, for window, events, action.
Okay,
action.
Let's go to the top of the window. Okay, action.
Speak event. Pop-up button.
Speak event, that's a pop-up button, which it's very similar to like a combo box in Windows. I'll do a comparison there. Just again, when I do those comparisons, I do it for some people, it might help them to understand it easier. But again, you shouldn't expect it to work the same as Windows. I just want to reiterate that. But okay, so speak the event, that's a pop-up button. I mean, we could change it.
When you speak specific text.
Speak specific text.
Bounce the dock icon.
Bounce the dock icon.
Display a growl notification. Display an alert. Display a name in the dock icon. Open the message window. Play a sound. Run an Apple script. Send a message. Show the contact list window. Check mark. Speak event.
Speak event. And that's what we would want. So
speak event.
I'm going to hit escape to get out of that menu. Yeah, it's so a lot of these are set to play sound or bounce the dock or that type of thing. We just change it. So it's a speak event. And then we have some other choices then.
Speak event time, unchecked checkbox.
You can choose whether or not to speak the actual time, which I don't have that checked.
Speak name, dimmed, check checkbox.
Okay, speak name, and that's checked and it's dimmed, because it would make no sense to disable that. There's no sense in it saying someone's idle if it's not going to say who the name is. That would kind of be pointless. So you can't even uncheck that.
Voice.
And there's, you can choose the voice.
Heather InfoVox iVox HQ pop-up button.
And it's Heather, the InfoVox voice. And like I said, that's an some extra voices you can purchase if you want to for the Mac.
Use custom pitch, unchecked checkbox, 47.2%, dimmed horizontal slider.
Okay, if you check that option to use the custom pitch, you can adjust that slider, but since we don't have it checked, it's dimmed.
Use custom rate, unchecked checkbox, 42.9%, dimmed horizontal slider.
And that's dimmed also because we don't have that checked.
Cancel button, okay.
And that's how you would set each event. There's like 20 or 30 events, and some of them are already set to speak, I think, but you know, you do have to go through it and change it and set it to speak. But the good news is you only have to do it once. And it doesn't take that long, actually. Once you're familiar with the dialog box, it took me about 5 minutes. So I'm going to go ahead and click on the cancel button to get out of here.
Cancel, press, closing dialog.
Because I don't want to change anything. And I'm going to go ahead and close the preferences window. I just wanted to show you how that was done.
Window, Tina at qwest.net, star shoes.
Okay, I don't know if she sent me another message or not. Let's see.
Unknown. Interact with HTML content. Not posed to get any storms here tonight. By the way, I'm recording a demonstration of the Macintosh.
Okay, that's what I wrote. So, yeah, she might be off doing something else now. That's okay. I'm going to go ahead and close this window with Command-W.
Window. Contacts. Table. No selection.
Let me send a message to another friend of mine on here. And, what this is, this is the contacts window. Okay, this is normally what you pop into when you first open Adium. And it puts all your contacts in a table, and you can just arrow through them, which I'll do.
Amy and Christy at Faith, Tina-E at Q-double, Vicky, Kitty Cat, Mama at Comcast.net, available.
And it's really good, because it tells you, you know, the name, it's got the email address, and it says whether they're available. You can change that, actually. You can choose the order of how it's displayed, the alias, whether you want to see, you know, each part. You can change all of that. You can also change your online status, and I'll show you how to do that. Let's go back to the menu bar with the Control F2.
Menu bar, Apple.
And let's go over to the right.
85, edit, view, status.
Status, that's a menu. Let's just down arrow through that.
Status, menu, check mark, available.
Okay, I'm available right now. It's checked.
Custom, ellipsis, command, shift.
You can set a custom one if you wish.
iTunes, away. Invisible, custom, ellipsis, offline, n0oxy@charter.net.
n0oxy@charter.net, that's my messenger name on MSN.
Edit status menu, ellipsis.
Edit status menu, so
check mark.
So you've got a lot of customization you can do. Okay, I'm going to hit escape to get out of that. All right, I'm going to send a message to another friend of mine here, and I'll show you how you do that. If you just arrow to the person you want...
Cecilia Lee Salin at hotmail.com, available.
That one. Now we can do a couple things here. If we just press enter, it will open a chat window where we can type the message. You can also use the voiceover command that brings up the action menu for an item. That's kind of similar in Windows to right-clicking on something. On the Mac, you would control-click it with the mouse. But it's a control option, which again is the voiceover, you know, key sequence that you hold down for most of the voiceover commands, except for what you got mapped to the numpad, if your keyboard has a numpad. But we do a control option shift M.
Menu, get info, view chat transcripts, add to address book, show in address book dimmed, edit in address book dimmed, send notification, send file, ellipsis.
You can do file transfers also.
Expand combine contact dimmed, remove ellipsis, block ellipsis, initiate multi-user chat with Listlin at get info.
Okay, so that's your choices there. You can do multi-chat also.
Vicky,
well,
Cecilia,
I'm just going to send I'm going to send her a quick message. You press enter here.
Edit text blank. Insertion at beginning.
Okay, I'm just going to put
A. Space.
Recording a demonstration of instant messaging on the Mac. If you are at your computer and want to type a response. Now, if we wanted to also, we could spell check this even. As I said in Podcast 8, the Macintosh's spell checker facility works any place. And I'll do that, actually, just to show you that that can be done any place, not just in a... unlike Windows, where you have to have a program that specifically has a spell checker, the Mac, it's standard. That word response, I'm going to delete the E out of that.
Period. E.
Okay, and S, just put S, S period. Period there, and there we go. Now let's read that line.
Hey, recording a demonstration of instant messaging on the Mac, if you are at your computer and want to type a response.
A response. See, because it's missing the E there. All right, let's press, hold the command key and then do a colon. So it's a command shift semicolon to spell check. And it should catch that word that's misspelled. Let's see.
Window, spelling and grammar.
Okay, let's read the window.
Response, edit text.
Response, yes. Let's spell that.
Response, R, E, S, P, O, N, S.
Okay. So let's just navigate this with the voiceover keys.
Ignore button. This word was not found in the spelling dictionary.
No, I wouldn't think it would be.
Learn button.
No, don't do that, because then it would always think it's correct, and that's not a word.
Find next button. Suggested corrections table.
Okay, let's interact with that.
Interact with suggested corrections table. On response. Response. Edit
response.
Text.
Great. Let's make sure we got the right word.
Response. R. E. S. P. O, N, S, E.
Absolutely. Okay, let's stop interacting with that and just click the change button.
Stop interacting with suggested change button. Edit text blank. Insertion at beginning of text.
Okay, there we are.
Edit text. Ignore dim button. Text blank. Check grammar. Unchecked English. Pop up button.
All right. So that is done. I think if we just press the same keystroke again, that this dialog will disappear.
Hey, window, Cecilia.
Yes.
Hey, recording a demonstration
so
of
it kind of appears on top of the existing window, and you just press command colon again to make it disappear when you're done. And now, response should be all fixed. Let's just
response.
Go to the end of this and see.
S-E, period.
It is. Great. All right. Press enter to send this. So, there you go. You can spell check any place there's a edit box, whether it's instant messaging or even, you know, typing out something on the web. If you use webmail, you can spell check. I mean, it works any place on the Mac, and it's really, really cool. All right, so that's kind of how instant messaging works. What I'm going to do for now is I am going to go ahead and close this chat window.
Window.
But I'm going to leave ADM open.
Table
actually,
and row selected.
And at least until we get into the backup stuff, then I'll probably need to close it. But for now, I'm going to leave that open while I show you this next application. And it's called Z's. And what this is, like I was saying earlier, it's a program that allows you to create, essentially, relaxation sound files. And you've probably seen, you know, in the stores, you can buy these relaxation tapes or CDs, that type of thing. But and those were good. The one thing, though, is they're always the same length, and they always say the same thing every time. So you kind of get used to it, and they may lose their effectiveness. Well, what this program does is you tell it, there's actually two different modules. You can do a relaxation where it basically kind of takes you into a relaxed state for whatever time you you specify, and then it basically tells you when it's time to wake up, basically, and it's for whatever length of time you specify. And then the other one is for going to sleep at night, actually. That one helps you get to sleep, and of course that one doesn't tell you to wake up then at the end, because it's designed for, you know, at night or when you're wanting to actually go to sleep for a while. But it's always fun to try new applications, and so I thought about trying this one. It's costs like $50 is the price of it. There is a version available for Windows also, which I haven't tested that one, but I've heard it is usable on the Windows side. But So I thought about trying that on the Mac, and it works pretty well. There's only one little caveat, but it's fairly easy to get around, and I'll show that to you. Let's go ahead and Command Tab back to the Finder here.
Finder, Macintosh HD selected.
Which, just to reiterate, of course, is the Mac's home base. It's kind of like Explorer in Windows, the closest thing. All right, let's go back down to the dock with Control F3.
Adium running.
And let's press P.
Preview. Passes.
Passes. I had to push a PZ to get to it because preview is also down there, which is another one. Passes is how Alex pronounces it. Okay, let's go ahead and press enter here.
Macintosh HD select passes. Window passes. Table has keyboard focus.
Okay. Now there's a little caveat with this program. I don't know if it's a bug in the program or if it's with VoiceOver itself. I don't know. But you have to turn off the cursor tracking when using this program because, and the cursor tracking again is where the keyboard focus, you know, moves with the VoiceOver cursor, and the two stay synchronized. If you don't do that, what happens is VoiceOver just gets into this state where it just says busy over and over again whenever you press a key. Like I say, I don't know if it's an issue with this program or if it's something with VoiceOver, and it'll be interesting to see if that still happens with Snow Leopard when that comes out for the Mac in a couple of months. That'll be the new Mac OS, which, by the way, I do plan to do a couple of podcasts. One, I'm going to do one on installing the 10.6 upgrade. I'm going to do a full podcast on that, and then I'm going to do one on the new features of VoiceOver in 10.6. I'm going to make that a separate one, so be watching out for that. I'm sure a lot of you will be looking forward to those two, and I definitely plan on doing those. Okay, there's also a couple of unlabeled buttons in here where it just says button, and there's no help tag either with pressing Control-Option H. And I have emailed them about these issues, and they have said they're looking into it. So that's one thing you'll find on the Mac side, that the developers are very willing to to fix any issues that a program may have. And of course, since VoiceOver is built into the Mac, they can test their own programs to see how well they work, which is a really good thing. So I'm going to go ahead and turn off the cursor tracking here. I'm going to press Control-Option-Shift-F3.
Cursor tracking off.
And I'll just go ahead and create a what it calls a nap. That's what it calls this. And there's two ways you can do it. You can do it kind of in a beginner mode or the advanced mode. Now, one of these, you do have to deal with the unlabeled buttons. So I'm not going to do that one. I think that's actually the beginner one. I think what we're going to do is actually the advanced one. So I'm going to go ahead and just move through the items here with the VoiceOver cursor.
Create a new nap button. Table. Create a new nap button. Create a new nap button.
See, one of these is the two different modes, and both buttons say the same thing, create a new nap. That's something they could probably improve on with the labeling a little bit. But anyway, it's the second one we want. So I'm going to go ahead and select that with the VoiceOver select key.
Press create interact with dialog for window passes installed modules.
Okay, so now we're on installed modules. We can tab now through this, or we could use the VoiceOver keys, but remember our cursor tracking is off at this point for this program, so the two cursors won't really be synchronized. You can tab, and your VoiceOver cursor will stay where you leave it, and if you move the VoiceOver cursor, your keyboard focus will stay where you leave it unless you activate something or interact with it. And once we get out of this program, when we're done with this one, we'll go ahead and turn that back on. But it's no big thing, really. It's just a couple of extra keystrokes, but it's no big thing. So let's go ahead and take a look at this window. We're in the dialog box where we can set up our nap parameters.
Installed modules. Table.
Okay.
Table has keyboard focus.
That's where the keyboard focus is also right now. That's where it ended up when I opened this dialog. It's the first item, so I'll show you what's here.
Energizer.
Energizer is the nap one where it actually you set the length of time, and then it kind of guides you into a relaxed state, and then it kind of gives you music and ocean sounds and that type of thing, and then when the time you specify about a minute or two before the time's up, then it tells you it's time to start coming back to full alertness and that type of thing. Okay.
Meditation.
I'm not exactly sure what the meditation one is. I've looked at it. It seems like it's just kind of you know, bells and that type of thing, you know, chimes and that type of thing. I haven't really used that one much.
Sleep.
And then sleep, that's if you're actually, you know, going to bed, and it can help you get to sleep. So let's just go with the, actually, let's go ahead and do the sleep one, just for fun. I haven't done that one too much, so let's do that. Let's say we wanted to create that. Okay, so let's go ahead and move to the right now. I don't know if I have to stop interacting with this table or not. Let's see. No, I don't. Okay, because I wasn't interacting with it originally. Okay, let's go ahead and move to the right here with the voiceover cursor.
Cancel button. Okay, okay button.
Okay, see, the cursors aren't tracking here because I've got that off. Let's go back to the top of the window.
Installed mod table. Cancel, but okay, okay.
Oh, I see. it's been a couple of weeks since I've been in this program. You select the module first, and then you get to set the parameters. So what we need to do here is select OK.
Press OK button. Closing dialog. Interact with dialog for window. Passes. Sleep module. Voice. Name.
There we go. Okay. So now we can, let's just go ahead and take a look at this window.
Sleep module. Voice. Name. Untitled. Edit text.
We could give this a name, this particular creation. I'll just leave it at untitled. You could change that if you wanted to. And again, with the cursor tracking off, you'd have to move your keyboard focus to the voiceover cursor with Control Option Command F4.
Untitled. Edit text.
Oh, I'll give it a name.
Untitled.
What the heck? Call it demonstration.
D-E-L-O-N.
There we go. All right, let's go ahead and move to the right again.
Music. Damaged music. Image. Image. Effects.
Okay, effects. We can change that.
Stereo. Pop-up button.
You can do stereo or...
Menu check. Aurora 3D.
Aurora 3D.
Check mark. Stereo.
We'll leave it at stereo.
Stereo. Pop-up button. 50.3%. Vertical slider. 50.3%.
And these vertical slider. Are the volumes.
Voice.
They're 50, set to 50% on both sides. I'm going to go ahead and change those to 100% just so I don't have to turn my speakers up anymore. There's a couple of ways we could do that. Again, since the cursor tracking's off, I wonder if we can just move our, use the Control Option Command F4 key here to move the voiceover cursor, or move the keyboard focus to this slider. Let's see.
50.3% vertical slider.
Yeah, okay, now I think I can just use the regular left and right arrow keys.
55.
Yeah, I can. We could have also just interacted with that slider and then used the voiceover keys. But
50.
And I'll do that for the other one. You get the two different channels you can set individually. So we'll do each one each way. I did move the keyboard focus to it and use the regular arrow keys for the first one. Now for the right channel. Let's go ahead and I'll show you how you can do it using the voiceover keys. Let's interact with this slider.
Interact with vertical slider.
And let's go ahead and just use the voiceover keys now.
45, 55, 60, 80, 89, 90, 100.0%.
There we go. Now we can stop interacting with that.
Stop interacting with vertical slider.
There we go. So either way works. And again, if we had the cursor tracking on, if this program didn't have that small issue, then the keyboard focus would have probably already just been there. But okay, let's keep going to the right with the voiceover keys.
Voice, regular, pop-up
button.
Okay,
you got voice. That's how much voice prompts and talking you want. You can have it regular.
Menu check, no voice.
No voice.
Check mark, regular.
Or regular actually, which means it's kind of through the whole thing. Well, it gets less as it kind of goes through. With the Energizer one where you kind of do the nap, you can set it for regular, you can have it only at the beginning and at the end, or not at all. Okay.
At end. Do nothing. Pop-up button.
Okay, you can say at end, do nothing. Let's see what the other choices are here.
Menu check, put computer to sleep.
Put computer to sleep.
Shut down computer.
Or shut it down.
Check mark.
That's kind of a
do
nifty
nothing.
Feature.
Do nothing.
So you can
pop
actually have your computer do this and then play the file and then shut it down because it's assumed you'll be asleep at that point. For the Energizer one, you can actually have it do an alarm at the end to make sure you're awake in case when they tell you, you know, it's time to, open your eyes and everything if you're really asleep. You can have it do an alarm, but for this one, obviously, that wouldn't be appropriate.
Length.
Okay, the length.
100% horizontal slider.
Okay, this is a slider.
Image. Image. 60 minutes.
Okay, 60 minutes.
100%. 100%.
Now,
Test levels button.
Let's see.
16.
We can change that.
Image 100% horizontal.
Let's go ahead and I'll just move the keyboard focus.
100%.
That and
90.
Let's take it down to
30%.
Let's take it down to 30% and see how many minutes that is.
Image 28 minutes.
28 minutes. So that's okay. I'm only going to play a minute of this just to show you what it does. And the other thing you can do with this also is you can actually have this create an MP3. You can either play it on your computer, or you can have it create an MP3 file and basically put it into iTunes for you, where you can load it onto a player and take it with you. So that's a nice thing, too.
100%.
Okay. Now we've got those sliders for the volume.
Test levels button. Cancel. Okay.
All right.
Button.
Let's do OK here.
Press OK. Closing dialog.
And we should be ready to go. Let's go ahead and look at this window again, and there should be a play pause button here, and I'll go ahead and let you hear the first part of this so you can see what it sounds like.
Current nap name. Play and pause button.
Play and pause. Let's go ahead.
Stop and unload dim.
Stop
button.
And unload. It's dimmed.
Image. 100% volume control horizontal slider. Image. Table.
And there's the table where each time when you create one, it saves it as a preset, like in this case, a 28-minute sleep one is what we've created. And you can delete these also, which I'll do before we exit it.
Create a new nap. Create show preferences button.
There's the preferences. That's fully accessible. There's a couple of things you can...
Export button.
Export. That would take it into iTunes for us.
Image. Export
and
button.
That's it. Okay. Let's go back to the play pause button, and let's play just a bit of this.
Current nap play and pause button.
And here we go.
Press play and pause button.
Now is the time when your body and mind are preparing to go into a different mode of being. For a few moments, I'll be speaking quietly with you. There'll be some quiet music, and you might enjoy listening for a while to what I'm saying before drifting off to sleep. Or you might just prefer to let my voice wash over you, letting the sounds carry you into deeply refreshing sleep. At any time you want to, or are ready to, my voice will just fade from your mind as you fall asleep naturally. The deeper part of you knows what to do and knows how to make perfect sleep with what I'm saying. The sounds and thoughts, feelings.
Stop and unload.
So that's kind of what
play
it
and pause, press,
says.
Play.
I'll pause that, and we can see how far along we've gotten, I think.
Export, but show preference, create a new nap, create table. Image, 100%, volume, image, stop and play, -0:27:00, nap timer.
Yeah, that's the, so that tells you how far along it is.
0:00:59, nap timer. Demonstration, current nap name.
There we go.
Image.
So that kind of gives you an idea of how that program works. And it works really well, except for having to turn off the cursor tracking, which hopefully will be fixed either by a voiceover or by the developers of this program. But it's a really great program. It's good for just relaxing and unwinding, and it works really well. All right, I'm going to go ahead and delete this this preset for now.
Minus play and pause.
Let's go
stop
back
image.
To the
100
table here.
Image table.
Okay. Let's go ahead and...
No row selected. Active nap 1. Attributes. Action 0.
Let me stop
zero.
And unload this, actually.
Demon 0. Minus play and stop and unload. Press stop and unload button.
Okay. Now...
Table. Has
yeah.
Keyboard focus.
Okay. I think that one I created is still selected.
No selection. Stop and unload dim button. Image.
Okay.
100. Image. Table.
So if
interact
with this...
Table. Attributes, action 0, effects 0, music volume
okay,
100,
I think I can just delete
voice
this,
0.
Well, now by pressing the delete key on the... Let's see.
Play and pop table 1 row selected. Attributes, action 0, effects room, interact with dialogue.
There we go.
Alert, this will permanently remove the selected preset. The selected preset will be removed from passes and cannot be recovered.
Okay, that's fine.
Remove button.
Just tab to remove and press space on it.
Closing dialogue.
There we go. I just deleted the preset I just created. Okay, so that's how that program works. It's a pretty nice little program, and except for having to turn off the cursor tracking, as you can see, VoiceOver works really well with it. Okay, let's go ahead and exit this program with a Command-Q.
Finder, Macintosh HD selected.
And now I can go ahead and turn my cursor tracking back on, which I prefer to leave it that way. And as you can see, it makes it a little bit easier. So we'll go ahead and do Control-Option-Shift-F3.
Cursor tracking on.
Okay. Well, the last program I want to show you may be the most important one. And it's for backing up. Backups, of course, are very important. It can't be overemphasized. It's important to have a backup. You just never know what's going to happen. Your hard drive can crash. Just anything. It can happen. And your data could be, you know, irretrievably lost without a backup. Now, the real problem with the backup in the past, at least on Windows, at least that I've seen, is there are some programs where you can do a backup, but restoring is the real challenge. A lot of times you have to rely on some type of script or get cited help. There's no way to really do it without speech. Well, I'm going to show you something that's really, really cool. I got the other day a Seagate external USB 250 gigabyte portable hard drive, and it's really small. It could even fit in your pocket, and doesn't even use a power cable. It just runs off the USB port. And what this allows you to do, there's a program, it's called Super Duper, is what it's called. And it, for free, it will allow you to actually make a copy of your drive to another, to an external hard drive. And then if you purchase it, and it's only $27, which is well worth it, it will allow you to do many other things, such as incremental backups, you know, smart update, backup scheduling, that type of thing. And what's really cool about this is it makes a total clone of your internal hard drive to your external. So what you can actually do is you can actually boot your Mac then off of your external drive and use it just as if it's your internal, if you would need to restore or anything like that. I mean, obviously, if you booted off your external and then did some work, you know, like got some mail or that type of thing, that would not be on your internal. So mainly you would use that if you had to restore or something like that. But the cool thing is, you know, you have VoiceOver available to you on your from your external drive then, just like your internal. So if your internal drive would crash, and once you have that fixed, you simply would boot then off of your external and tell this program to basically clone your external drive back to your internal, and you're back in business. And I'm going to show you how this whole thing works. I've already done a backup on my external drive, but that's okay. I can do another one. And what I'm going to show you is kind of what you'll want to do if you first get a external hard drive for your Mac. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and plug this external drive into a USB port on the back of my Macintosh. And like I say, this is just really awesome, this backup program. Okay, I've got it plugged in. The light on the hard drive just turned on. I've got enough vision that I can see that. And it's already recognized. With the Mac, you don't have to wait like you do in Windows for 20 or 30 seconds. Please wait while Windows installs the driver. No, none of that stuff. Now, when you first get a hard drive, like I say, I've already got a backup on this one, but I'm going to treat it as if it's a new drive, just so I can show you how everything works.
Vicky went idle.
Okay, another friend of mine went idle. What you can, what you'll want to do here, chances are it will not be formatted for the Mac when you get it. It'll probably be formatted as a FAT32 or NTFS, which if you don't want to make a bootable hard drive, you can format this as a FAT32. And if you want to copy files, you know, between the Mac and Windows, that's the best one to use. Or you can even make the drive multiple partitions. You can have an HFS, which is a Mac partition, for your bootable, you know, clone of your internal drive, and then you can also partition it as, you can make another partition and format that as FAT32, if you want to move files between the Mac and Windows. And the Mac will do that for you, too. The disk utility will do that. But for keeping things simple for now, I'm just going to go ahead and, I have this as a one partition, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell the Mac, before we do the backup, to erase this drive and reformat it as an HFS drive, which it already is, but this is what you would probably have to do if you were to get a new drive. So to do that, we need to get into disk utility. And I showed you this in podcast number 6, I think, with erasing a memory card before we did some stuff with the Victor stream. But we need to get into the utilities folder. And to do that, we're back in the Finder. We can do Command-Shift-U.
Utilities, window, utilities, table.
Okay. And let's just type in D-I-S. That should get us to disk utility.
Row 12. Name, disk utility.
There we go.
Selected application.
Disk utility dot app. That's for application. Now, on the dock, of course, you press enter to open an application, but everywhere else in the Finder, any place like that, you press a command O to open something. So that's what I'm going to do now.
Open table. Disk utility. Window. Disk utility. Selected disks table has keyboard focus.
All right. So what we're going to do here is we need to get down to this hard drive. I think we could just tab here. Let's see.
Selected disks table. No selection. Expanded. 111.8 gigabytes. GHDS 541612J9.
Okay, that's the internal drive. I don't want to erase that. Well, actually, the Mac wouldn't even let me try to because it's my startup disk at this point.
Expanded. Macintosh HD. Expanded 232.9 gigabytes Seagate Portable Media.
Seagate Portable Media, that's what we want here. So what I'm going to do now is just tell this to erase that. I'm just going to use the voiceover keys now to navigate.
Vertical split, first aid, select a tab 1 of 5, erase tab 2 of 5.
And that's what we want is the erase tab, so I'm going to select that.
Press erase tab 2 of 5, partition, RAID tab, partition
that's
tab,
where we
RAID,
can...
restore tab 5 of 5.
I'm not sure what restore does. Actually, let's check. I'm curious really quick.
Restore. Select a tab to select a source. Do one of the following. Bullet to restore a disk image stored on disk. Click image. Bullet to restore a disk image stored on the web. Drag it from a web browser or enter its URL. Starting with http://. Bullet to copy a disk. Drag it from the list on the left.
Okay.
Source. To
okay.
Select restore,
we'll go back to
select
the erase
RAID
tab.
Part erase, erase, select a tab, part restore,
okay.
Volume format.
Volume format, okay, here's where if you're going to make a bootable drive that can be booted from with this super duper application.
MS-DOS, FAT, pop-up button.
We don't want that. Let's go ahead and select that pop-up button.
Menu checkmark, Mac OS extended, journaled.
We've got a couple of choices, which I'll show you.
Mac OS extended. Mac OS extended, case sensitive. Mac OS extended, case sensitive. Checkmark.
Okay, we want
Mac OS extended, journaled.
Mac OS extended, journaled is what you want. So we'll press enter on that.
Mac OS extended, journaled.
Okay.
Name.
Name.
Untitled. Edit text.
Untitled. I'll just leave it at that for now. You could we could change it if we wanted to, and you can always rename it later, of course. But I'll leave it at that for now.
Blank text. Erase free space dim button. Security options button.
Okay, security options. Let's go in there because I do want to show you something in there. This is something you have to pay extra for in Windows to have, but the Mac has it built in. Let's go ahead and open this
press
security options.
Interact with dialog. Secure erase options. These options specify how to erase the selected disk or volume to prevent disk recovery applications from recovering it. This is quick and provides the least security. It erases just the info. Secure erase options.
Okay.
These options specify how to erase the selected disk or volume to prevent disk recovery applications from recovering it. Don't erase data. Selected radio button.
That's probably what I'm going to do in this case, just so it reformats.
This is quick and provides the least security. It erases just the information used to access files and leaves the data in the files unchanged. Many commonly available disk recovery applications can restore that data.
That's fine in this case.
Zero out data radio button. This is quick and provides good security. It erases the information used to access your files and writes zeros over the data once. Seven pass erase radio button. This option takes 7 times longer than zero out data and meets the U.S. Department of Defense DOD 5220.22M standard for securely erasing magnetic media. It erases the information used to access your files and writes over the data 7 times. 35 pass erase radio.
My goodness, that would take forever probably.
This option takes 35 times longer than zero out data and provides the best security. It erases the information used to access your files and writes over the data 35 times.
Okay.
Help button. Cancel.
Okay. It's already set to the quickest one, which is, let's see.
Don't erase data. Select.
Don't erase the data. No, it just basically reformats the drive is what it does. And that's fine. We'll
okay.
go ahead and do that.
Press. Okay. Okay. Closing dialogue.
And
erase button.
Go ahead and select the erase button here.
Press. Erase. Interact with dialogue. Alert. Erase disk. Erasing the disk will destroy all information on the volume of the disk. This disk has one volume, untitled. Are you sure you wish to erase the disk, untitled?
Yes, I am.
Erase, can't erase button.
All right, and it's
disk utility,
up.
Ready. Security options, erase free space, blank, tech, untitled,
let's see.
Dim, name.
How long
Mac OS
gonna
extended,
take this?
Journal, help, disk description, CD, portable media, total capacity, 200, subsystem, has new, erase button.
Okay, it's already done. Great. That was quick, as I figured it would be. It basically reformats the drive itself. All the data is still there, but the computer would just write over it. So that's fine. So we've got a brand new hard drive now, and that's what you'll need to do when you first get one. Okay, let's go ahead and exit out of Disk Utility with Command Q here.
Finder. Window, utilities,
and we could do
table.
Command W to close that
Macintosh
finder window.
HD, selected.
All right, now let's
Amy
go.
And Toby went idle.
Okay, another friend of mine went idle there. And actually, I'm going to go ahead and close out of Adium now because you don't want any files being changed or anything like that while you do this backup. So I'm just going to do Command Tab here.
8 Macintosh HD, selected. Adium,
and
window,
do Command Q to quit that
finder,
as well.
Macintosh
now let me
HD.
Just open the untitled drive and make sure that it's blank.
Untitled, selected.
Which it should be.
Open, window, untitled, table.
And it is. That's great. There's nothing there. That's exactly what we want. Okay, go ahead and do Command W to close that.
Untitled, selected.
Okay.
Macintosh
now let's go ahead and open up Super Duper, which is the backup program. Again, I've got that stored in my dock. So we'll do Control F3.
Passes.
And I think if I press SU, it should get us down there.
Super Duper.
Press Enter.
Finder, Macintosh HD, selected. Super Duper. Window, Super Duper. Super Duper. Cannot find target volume, untitled, period, has keyboard focus.
Well, I'll just have to reselect it. It's been reformatted, actually, that's why. Okay, so let's just go ahead and read through this window.
Super Duper. Super Duper. Please attach or mount the volume named, untitled. If you can't find this volume, or it was erased outside Super Duper, click Cancel.
And that's what we'll do.
Cancel button, press, cancel, window, Super Duper. Macintosh HD, pop-up button.
Okay, so now what we've got here is the main Super Duper window, and I'll show you what's here, and we'll make our selections along the way. What we want to do is go ahead and clone the internal drive to this external Seagate drive. So let's see what we've got in this window.
Macintosh HD, pop-up button.
Macintosh HD, that's the first one. That's the source.
Untitled, pop-up button.
And untitled is the second one. So it already selected the right volumes. If it didn't have the right ones, you could select those and make the appropriate selection for the volume you wanted if you had more than two.
Backup all files, pop-up button.
Okay, backup all files, that's what we want. I'll show you the other choices that are here, though.
Menu, backup, user files. Restore, all files. Sandbox, shared users and applications. New copy script. Edit selected copy script, dimmed. Sandbox, shared users, dim. Send checkmark, backup, all
files. Backup all
files
is what we want, so I'm going to press escape to get out of that menu.
What's going to happen?
And this is really nice. It's very descriptive. It says, what's going to happen? Let's just keep reading here with the voiceover keys.
Pressing copy now will first erase untitled.
Well, it's already erased.
All files will then be used to copy Macintosh HD to untitled. All files on Macintosh HD will be copied to untitled, except the temporary and system-specific files that Apple recommends excluding.
Okay.
Button. Click to require password authentication before copying.
And that's a button, yeah, we could click that. I actually set that so you type your password once and it doesn't require the password anymore.
Options button.
And there is an options here we can set to. Let's just see what's in there. I'll go ahead and select that.
Press options button.
All right, now let's go ahead and read this window.
Macintosh, untitled, backup, all file, general, advanced, tab, before copy. Repair permissions on Macintosh HD, unchecked checkbox.
Yeah, we shouldn't have to do that. That should be fine.
Burn copy. Erase untitled, then copy files from Macintosh HD. Pop-up button.
Let me see what other choices we've got.
Menu check. Smart update untitled from Macintosh HD. Copy newer files from Macintosh. Copy different files from Macintosh HD to untitled. Check mark. Erase untitled, then copy files from Macintosh HD.
Okay.
Erase untitled.
Well, it can erase it, but it's already erased, so that won't take it long at all. And that's fine.
This will completely erase untitled, then copy the selected files to it from Macintosh HD. On successful completion, do nothing. Pop-up button.
And on successful completion, you can have it do nothing, or...
Restart from untitled.
Restart from untitled. You can actually have it restart from the disk it just made.
Set untitled as startup disk.
Set untitled as the startup disk.
Shut down computer.
Or shut itself down.
Sleep computer.
Or sleep.
Quit super duper.
Or exit
check
program.
Mark. Do not.
So what we'll do for now is just to have it do nothing. It'll just copy and then go back to the main screen.
Okay button.
Now there is an advanced, which I'll show you also.
Untitled. Backup. All file. General. Advanced. Tab. Advanced. Before copy. Run shell script. Before copy starts. Uncheck checkbox.
Yeah, we really don't need to do that.
Blank. Text. Choose. Button. Burn copy. Copy ACLs from Macintosh HD. Checked. Checkbox.
I'm not sure what ACL actually is, but it's checked and we'll leave it that way.
After copy, create a disk image of untitled. Unchecked. Checkbox.
And we don't need to create a disk image after it's copied.
Blank. Tech. Choose. Button. Install package on untitled. Unchecked. Checkbox.
Install package. No, we don't need to do that.
Blank. Tech. Choose. Button. Run shell script. After copy completes. Uncheck. Blank. Tech. Choose. Button. OK. OK. Button.
So everything's fine. We'll just hit OK here.
Press OK. Button. Untitled. Pop-up button. Backup. What's pressing? Button. Click options. Button. Schedule button.
Now, the schedule allows us to schedule a backup for a later time.
Copy now button. Copy now.
And there's
button.
Copy now. So I'm going to go ahead and select that.
Press. Interact with dialog. Alert. You are about to erase untitled. This will completely erase untitled, then copy the selected files to it from Macintosh HD. Are you sure this is what you want to do?
It is. I should be able to tab here, I think, or I can use the voiceover cursor. Either way.
Don't copy, but copy button.
I'll just tab in this case to copy and hit the spacebar on that.
Window, super duper. Macintosh HD, DIN.
And there it goes.
Button.
Now, how simple was that? And what that does now is it's going to back up my entire hard drive to this external, and I'm not going to keep the recording going for this whole thing because it's going to take a little while.
System dialog.
But I do want to show you how the status works, and then what we'll do is I'll go ahead and stop the recording until the backup is done, and then I'll show you what we can do with it. But let's go ahead and read this window so you can see how the status stuff works.
Untitled, dim pop-up, backup, all file, image, 1. Prepare to copy files. Prepared Macintosh HD. Erased untitled. Prepared untitled. Preserved spotlight state on untitled. Image, 2. Copy files. 1.5% progress indicator.
So there's the indicator. If you want to keep your voiceover cursor on that, you could. And
1.9% progress indicator is in the voiceover cursor.
And read that. So it's got a little ways to go. But there's other stuff we can read here, too.
Copying files from Macintosh HD to untitled. 2,194 of 683,947 files of 2,798 of 2,886 of 6.
So if you want to keep hearing that, you can keep your voiceover cursor there.
725.78 megabytes evaluated, 0.00 megabytes already up to date, 649.31 megabytes copied. Image. 3. After successful copy. Make untitled boot able. Restore spotlight state on untitled. Stop button. Stop button.
So I can have it stop. I'm going to move my voiceover cursor back to the percentage.
Image 703,000 copying 2.4% progress indicator.
There we go. Okay, what I'm going to do here is I'm going to go ahead and pause the recording until this is done. And then we will come back on the recording and I'll show you what you can do with this backup. And that's where you'll really see how cool this really is. But as you can see, that backup program is fully accessible. It works great with VoiceOver, and it's a quick and easy way to back up your stuff. And as you'll see, restoring is just as easy. I don't have a need to restore at this point, but I'll show you how it would work. if you would need to. And a couple other neat things you can do with, you know, a backup that this program creates. So for now, I'm going to go ahead and pause the recording, and we'll pick it back up once this backup is complete. All right, just to kind of let you know here, about, you know, 15 or 20 minutes have passed since I paused the recording, and it's, let's see where the percentage is at here.
50.2% progress indicator.
Okay, so it's at 50.2%, so it's about halfway done, so to kind of give you an idea how long it'll take, depending on how much you've got on your drive, of course. But, okay, we'll go ahead and pause this, and then we'll pick up the recording again once it's done. All right, we are back on the recording here, and the total backup time, I know I had told you that it was about halfway done. It was about 15 or 20 minutes, and probably a good 40, 45 minutes have passed, and I think I've got like 30 or 35 gigs on this hard drive, so it just depends on, you know, how long or how much you have on your drive. So, you know, once you start the backup, you can, you know, go do something else. It'll take care of itself. But now we have a status window up of what was done. And I'll go ahead and we'll go ahead and read that here.
Macintosh HD, dim pop-up button. Untitled, dim pop-up button. Backup, all files, dim pop-up button. Image, 1. Prepare to copy files. Prepared Macintosh HD. Erased untitled. Prepared untitled. Preserved spotlight state on untitled. Image 2. Copy files. Copy files from Macintosh HD to untitled. 683,947 files evaluated. 649,045 files copied. Effective copy speed 6.60 megabytes s. Image 28.71 gigabytes evaluated, 0.00 megabytes already up to date, 28.63 gigabytes copied.
Okay, so 28.6 gigabytes copied is what it, that's how much it copied.
3. After successful copy, made untitled boot able. Restore spotlight state on untitled OK button.
And there's the OK button. Let's go ahead and select that.
Press OK button.
All right.
Super duper Macintosh HD.
All right, so we can go ahead and Command Q it out of this and quit this application.
Finder Macintosh
HD. All right, so what can we do with this now? Well, this really, like I say, it's a much better backup solution in so many ways compared to what's in Windows, because usually in Windows either everything is copied to a drive, and then you can copy it, you know, back to your main computer if you need to, but a lot of times you can't really boot, you know, your operating system off of that external drive, at least not that I know of. And for programs that make, you know, clones of your drive to disk, it's usually in a proprietary image format, or to restore it, they use Linux or something like that. Not that Linux is a bad thing, because there's nothing wrong with it, but there's no way to really have speech when you restore in Windows. Either you end up having to get Cited Help to do a full restore of your system, or you end up having to use like a batch file or a script file and hope everything, you know, works right. Well, let me show you first off what this program did. If we open the untitled drive now.
Untitled selected.
I'm back on the desktop. Do Commando.
Open. Window. Untitled. Table. Table. Collapsed. Row 1. Name. Applications. Selected for collapsed. Row 2. Name, dev, selected, collapsed, row 3. Name, home, collapsed, row 4. Name, library, collapsed, row 5. Name, collapsed, collapsed, row 5. Name, MP3, selected,
MP3 folder. So it made a perfect clone on this external drive of the internal. Now, let's do something really cool here. This is awesome. I don't know of any way to do this in Windows. You know, running a PC with Windows. But what I'm going to do, let's say for a moment that, you know, God forbid something did happen to the internal hard drive on this computer. What we can do is literally boot this Macintosh now off of this external USB hard drive. And actually what we could even do is I could take this drive to any Intel-based Macintosh, connect it to the USB port, and boot off of it, and essentially have, you know, everything, you know, my own stuff, my own OS, all my applications, everything,
And you can do that and work on stuff. You just have to make sure you copy stuff back to your internal drive, you know, when you get back to your main computer. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and choose Restart here from the Apple menu. And then I'll show you what we're going to do here to boot off of this external hard drive. This is really cool. This is awesome. So let's do Control F2 to go to the Apple menu.
Menu bar, Apple, Apple, shut down, restart.
Let's do restart.
Restarting.
Now, when we hear the Macintosh bong sound, means it's rebooted, we hold the Option key down. Okay, I'm holding the Option key on the keyboard now. Let me hold that down for a good, oh, maybe 5 seconds or so. And the hard drive, the light on my external drive is flashing now, because it's checking the different drives for startup and that type of thing. Now, if we just pressed Enter here, what holding the Option key down does is it actually gives you a list of startup disks, possible startup disks. And if we just press Enter here, it would boot off of the internal as usual. Well, if we press either the left or right arrow key, I'll just press the left arrow key here, and press Enter. And what it is doing now, it's essentially booting the Mac OS off of this external USB drive. And it's a little bit slower than the internal drive, and that's to be expected. But it is, that's just so cool that you can do this. You can literally boot your OS off of your external drive and use it just as if it was your internal to restore or copy files back, whatever you need to do. And what we'll do here is we'll go ahead and go into Super Duper from the external drive. Because once now that we've booted off of this, that is the startup disk, at least for this session. And it's still booting up here. Like I say, it takes a little bit longer from the USB port. But once it's booted, the response time, everything is just fine. And the external hard drive, you can't hear it, but it's grinding away, but it's a very quiet drive. And it should be just about booted here.
Finder.
There we go.
Macintosh HD selected.
And there we are. We're in the Finder, and it's got, Macintosh HD, everything, just as if we had booted off of the internal drive. Now, let's say that we did need to restore the internal. I don't need to do that, but I'll show you how you could do it. Let's go ahead and do Control F3 to go down to the dock.
Finder running.
And do SU here.
Super Duper.
There you go. Press Enter.
Finder. Macintosh HD selected. Super Duper. Window. Super Duper. Super Duper. Cannot find target volume untitled, period. Has keyboard focus.
Well, I was still looking for that other one, I guess.
Please attach or mount the volume named untitled. If you can't find this cancel, press cancel, window, Super Duper.
Okay, so let's see what we've got here.
Macintosh HD, pop-up button, Macintosh HD, pop-up button.
Well,
Macintosh.
In this case, they're both set to the Macintosh HD.
Backup, all five Macintosh HD.
So what we could do
button.
If we needed to restore, we could change this first one.
Macintosh menu check disk image ellipsis untitled.
Change that to untitled.
Untitled.
And then the second one
Macintosh
is
HD.
Macintosh
pop-up
HD.
Button.
So
backup all files pop-up button. What's going to happen?
Now if we read this.
Pressing copy now will first erase Macintosh HD. Backup all files will then be used to copy untitled to Macintosh HD. All files on untitled will be copied to Macintosh HD, except the temporary and system-specific files that Apple recommends excluding. Button. Click to require password options. Button. Schedule. But copy now. Button.
Okay. So if we needed, if the internal drive, let's say, had been damaged somehow, or something else, we could just use that and basically go the opposite direction and restore the internal drive. On this computer, totally with speech. It would be totally accessible. Now, let's take this a step further. I don't need to do that, of course, because my internal drive's just fine. So let's go ahead and Command-Q out of SuperDuper.
Finder.
All right.
Macintosh.
Now, what I'm going to do here, just for the sake of it, is I'm going to go ahead and eject Macintosh HD. That's my internal, you know, hard drive. Untitled is my external. So what I'm going to do is, now normally it wouldn't let you do that, of course, but remember that we're started from the untitled, from the external drive. So
Macintosh HD.
I can just go to Macintosh HD and do a Command E.
Inject Macintosh zero items selected.
And what that has essentially done now is unmounted the internal hard drive. It totally turned it off and everything. Now, let's do one more thing. Let's see if we can do it. This would be really cool. I actually haven't tried this yet. You can't install Windows, usually, to an external hard drive. Usually it won't let you do that, at least that I've seen. Well, since this external drive is a perfect clone of the internal, in theory at least, we should be able to start up Fusion, which I covered in podcast number 5, and I have a Windows XP installed. We should be able to start up Fusion and start up Windows XP and run it all from this external USB hard drive. Let's see if we can. Go ahead and do Control F3 to go back to the dock.
SuperDuper.
Hit V.
VMware Fusion.
Here we go. Cross your fingers. I'm going to hit Enter.
Finder. Blank. Blank. VMware Fusion. Window. Users Mike Arrigo documents virtual machines dot localized slash window.
I'll go and hit the Control key so it doesn't read all that. It's reading the path, the name of the virtual machine image. But what it's doing now... Yep. As far as I can tell, yep, it's actually, this is really cool. It's actually booting Fusion, and then it's loading Windows XP, all from this external USB drive. Now that is awesome. Like I say, you can use it just as if it's your internal drive, with this upper and the way it clones your drive. That is really, really nifty. Let's see if Windows XP finishes booting here. Hopefully we'll hear the Windows startup sound before too long. Again, it may take a little bit longer to boot because it is coming from the USB hard drive. But and of course, once we shut this down or choose restart, I didn't change the startup disk in the system preferences. So to switch back to the internal, all I have to do is shut down the Mac and then restart it, and then without pressing the Option key, it'll just default to booting off of the internal drive again. But this is really awesome. There is a backup and restore solution that's completely accessible. And there we are. There is the Windows XP startup sound. We have totally, we've booted the Mac OS and Windows XP all off of an external USB hard drive. How about that? That is really, really awesome. And I could probably just start up Windowize here even. Let's see. Go ahead and hit Control Option Tab here so VoiceOver doesn't interpret the Control Option W command. It's a little slower here.
Ignoring next key press.
Here we go. Now let's do Control Option W, which Windows, of course, in this case will interpret as Control Alt W. A little bit slower, as you can tell, but still.
Windowize 7.01. Send now button dialog. Windowize error.
Oh, there's an old error in here. I think I've already sent this. I'm going to delete it.
Do not ask me again on startup. Optional comments. Edit. Delete error button. Taskbar running application. Desktop.
There we go. I don't know why I kept asking me about that, because I've already sent that error. But anyway, there you are. So we are booted up into Windows now. We could, again, take this external drive to any Mac and boot it. And whenever I need to restore, of course, every once in a while, I'll have to connect this booting back off of the internal drive and let SuperDuper, keep my backup in sync with the internal drive with changed files and that type of thing. But you've got the best of both worlds. You can boot from the external drive, and or if you're, booted from the regular drive, your internal, and you need to just copy a file from the external, you can do that as well. So it's really awesome. It's a much better backup solution than anything Windows can offer, as far as I know. So, anyway, that's a good example of some third-party programs. As you can see, if a program is, developed correctly and, you know, to Mac standards, which a lot of them are, VoiceOver will work just fine with third-party applications. So anyway, I hope everybody's enjoyed this one. If you have any questions or comments, I would love to hear from you. It's great getting all the email I get from people saying, you know, thanks to your podcast, I've gotten a Mac, or I'm looking into it, or I've been able to learn, you know, how to use the Mac because of your podcast, and that's just awesome. And you know what? That makes it all worth it. Makes it worth, makes it worth doing all these for sure. Anyway, if you'd like to contact me, please feel free to do so. Would love to hear from you. My email address is N0OXY. It's my ham radio call. N0OXY at charter, charter, .net. So, everyone take care, and we'll talk again soon. Not sure what I'm going to do for Podcast 10 yet, but you can be assured, like I said earlier, when Snow Leopard comes out, there's going to be at least two podcasts. I'm going to do one installing the upgrade, and then I'm definitely going to do one about the new voiceover features, so that's definitely something to look forward to when that comes out. So take care, and we'll talk to everybody again soon.